abiding before the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. That means you are having the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas as a witness to observe that you to observe your development of aspirational bodhicitta. And then the last verse is from the Bodhicharya Avatara, which reads, as long as the space remains, as long as suffering of sentient beings remain, may I too remain to remove or dispel their suffering. So I will use this verse. So as soon as I finish one verse in Tibetan, then it should be repeated in Chinese. Sit in a kneeling position. Will be roughly speaking like this. With a wish to liberate all sentient beings, I will forever take refuge to the Buddha, to the Dharma and Sangha. So that verse deals with taking refuge. And the second verse deals with actual generation of bodhicitta, which reads, enthused by wisdom and compassion, I will make effort to achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings, having the Buddhas as a witness before me. So you should imagine the presence of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas as a witness, and also visualize the presence of suffering sentient beings around yourself, and then develop strong compassion focusing on all suffering sentient beings. And then develop a wish to make them meet with happiness and to remove their suffering. And then you should think, I will myself help them actualize happiness and remove their suffering. And I will actualize. And you should also think that the excellent qualities of body, speech and mind that Buddhas and Bodhisattvas possess are a result of development of bodhicitta and compassion. In my own case also, I claim that I am a follower of the Buddha and Bodhisattvas, and therefore since you always think about becoming a sincere follower of the Buddha, it is important to follow his own examples. In the case of Buddha himself, he first developed bodhicitta and then led the life of a bodhisattva and then finally achieved enlightenment for the sake of soul, all sentient beings. So similarly, I will follow his example, and for the sake of all suffering mother sentient beings who are helpless, who are without guide, I will develop bodhicitta to achieve enlightenment for them with a wish to liberate all sentient beings. To Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. Until I achieve the essence of Buddhahood. I will forever take refuge to them. Enthused by wisdom and compassion, for the sake of sentient beings, I will make effort abiding before the Buddha, I will generate the mind to complete enlightenment. As long as space remains, as long as sentient beings remain, till that long I will also live may I be able to dispel the sufferings of sentient beings. Uh, repeat for the second time, with a wish to liberate all sentient beings. To the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, until I achieve the essence of Buddhahood, I will forever take refuge. With compassion and wisdom, I will make effort for the benefit of sentient beings. Abiding before the Buddha, I will develop the mind to complete enlightenment. As long as space remains, as long as sentient beings remain, till that long may I too remain, and dispel the sufferings of sentient beings. When you repeat this for the third time, and come to the last line of the second verse, which says, I will develop the mind to complete enlightenment, you should think that you have developed the genuine aspirational bodhicitta, and you should think that I will never let this mind degenerate. Repeat this again. With a wish to liberate all sentient beings, to the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, until I achieve the essence of enlightenment, I will forever take refuge. With compassion and wisdom, I will make effort for the sake of sentient beings. Abiding before the Buddha, I will generate the mind to complete enlightenment. As long as space remains, as long as sentient beings remain, till that long may I too remain, and dispel the sufferings of sentient beings. So this completes generating the aspirational bodhicitta. Sit down. In order to strengthen and enhance this mind of bodhicitta, it is important to develop this mind repeatedly. Say three times a day or three times a night. It is in this way that you should remind the bodhicitta that you had developed today. And what is even more important is that we should think that from today onwards, I will never hatch ill will or hatred towards any sentient being, thinking that sufferings befall on such and such individual or sentient being. So you should never develop such kind of negative attitude. In short, having developed the aspirational bodhicitta, you should acquaint yourself with the precepts of aspirational bodhicitta as is explained in the great stages of the path, and then try to adopt them, try to practice them. Next is the confirmation of the preparation of the initiation of the deity called Thupa Thamsik Sumku, or you can simply say Thamsik Sumku. Thupa Thamsik Sumku is one of the main deity of the Akshin Tantra lineage. I have received the initiation of these deity or Thupa Thamsik Sumku from Chogyi Rinpoche. There are many initiations explained in the text called Compendium of Classes of Tantra. So using that text, Chogyi Rinpoche conferred that initiation to me. And the prayer that I recite is a teaching by a great learned practitioner and scholar called Lothar Wangpo. In other words, I'm using that text composed by Lothar Wangpo. Lothar Wangpo was a great practitioner and scholar, and he composed many texts on initiation. So that is the text that I'm using here for conferring the initiation of Thamsik Sumku. The teaching that we are listening to here is one of the tantric teaching, and within the tantric class, as you know, there are four classes of tantra, and this initiation comes from the class of action tantra. Akshin Tantra is also treated as a root of all the classes of Tantra. And within the Akshin Tantra, there are again two types. There is the general Tantra of the Akshin Tantra and the individual classes of the Akshin Tantra. And this one belongs to one of the individual Tantra classes within the Akshin Tantra. And with respect to the individual classes of Akshin Tantra, it is also of six types. And this one belongs to the lineage called the lineage of Tathagata. And the name of that lineage is called Thupa Thamsik Sumku. So the initiation will be conferred in relation to the mandala of this Buddha Tathagata. So with regard to conferment of this initiation, it has two parts. The first part deals with entering into the mandala, and the second part deals with conferring the initiation after having entered the mandala. Of removing the evil forces that might obstruct in receiving this tantric initiation. He asks the evil forces to be satisfied by this gift of Dharma and to bless us without creating any obstruction. The Lama visualizes vajra fences to fences around us to get protected. As we have been discussing during the last few days, that the unique feature of tantric practice is achieved through the deity yoga practice, and it is through the practice of the deity yoga that one is able to cultivate indivisible practice of method and wisdom. And one employs that indivisible quality of method of wisdom as a unique course to achieve the enlightenment. So therefore, what is really important here is to remove the appearance of ordinariness and then develop a clear understanding and visualization of the deity, and then meditate on the ultimate nature of that deity. And therefore, it is important that the Lama who confers the initiation should also have a vivid visualization of himself in the form of a deity, as I have done during the performance of the self-generation. I have visualized a complete form of mandala of Thubatamsik Sumukyu, in the center of which I visualized five main deities. The center is Buddha Tathagata. One face, two hands, as we normally visualize. And his hand is in the gesture of giving Dharma teaching. On his right, on a lower seat, slightly lower seat, we have the Bodhisattva, the Vajra holder. Bodhisattva called Vajra holder. One face, two hands, holding a vajra, and with folded hands in his in front. And on the left, we have the Vajrasattva called holder of the great vajra. The right hand holding a jewel, and the left hand holding a conch. In front of the right Bodhisattva, on the right, we have the wrathful deity called Chiutai. He is in the wrathful form, red color. Left hand holding a skull filled with flowers, and wearing a cloth prepared from the skin of white snake. And then on the left, we have a female deity in a peaceful form, and the right hand in the gesture of paying homage. So it is in this way that you should visualize five deities within this mandala, and you should visualize the actual presence of these Buddhas and the mandalas. I have consecrated and blessed the vase, and so having done that, here I'm preparing the students. And then on the mandala board, we have the victorious vase, as is the traditional practice of Dagda Rinpoche. So visualize these five deities, and as a sign of the lineage, on the crown of the main deity, you should visualize Verochana, and Bodhisattva on the crown of the Bodhisattva Vajra holder, visualize. So it is in this way that on the crown of these five deities of the mandala, you should visualize the five Buddhas as the sign of the lineage. And as you know, that these five Buddha lineages represents the state of purified state of our five psychophysical aggregates. You should see, because of specific purposes, you should see the principal deity of the mandala and the lama as inseparable, and you should think that I will receive the preparation from such an indivisible state of the lama and the deity. So make a mandala offering for receiving these teachings related to entering the mandala. Next is setting up the motivation and generating oneself into the form of the principal deity. Setting up the motivation here means that if you are receiving this initiation for just for this life, then your motivation is wrong. For example, if you receive this initiation thinking that I will achieve success in this life, I will have a long life, I will be free from sickness, and with that purpose if you receive the initiation, it is wrong. And therefore the right motivation is, as I have explained earlier, that you should receive this initiation thinking that I will achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. At the best, you should try to achieve enlightenment in this very life. If not possible, then we need to continuously practice for many lives to come. And therefore, it is important to achieve a life which has the necessary facilities enabling oneself to undertake Dharma practice. So therefore, even before achieving enlightenment, one should be able to use one's body, speech and mind to help others as much as possible. And it is for such a purpose that I will receive the initiation. Such should be your motivation. Develop the motivation that I'm going to receive this initiation to help all suffering sentient beings. Next, the students generate themselves into the deity Buddha Tathagata. As we have been discussing during the last few days, that you are today thinking that I am going to receive the initiation. Where is this I? You should think. And you also think, I am a Taiwanese or I am a Chinese. When you think I am a Taiwanese or I am a Chinese, you tend to identify that based on your physical body, because you are born from a Taiwanese or Chinese parent, you will say, I am a Taiwanese or a Chinese. And when you think I am a Buddhist, then it is related to your mental attitude, not your body, because mentally you take refuge to Buddha, and from that perspective you think I am a Buddhist. And when you say I am an ordained monk or nun or I am a bhikshu, you think so in relation to the costumes, external costumes, that you are monks and nuns robes, and also it is related to your mental attitude. But when you say I'm a translator, then perhaps it is more related to the speech. So it is in this way that the I seems to be quite elusive. It seems to make a connection here on one occasion, there on another occasion. So therefore it is important to find out who is this I in a real sense. Right from the top of your head to the sole of your feet, if you try to locate this I, you won't find it. Similarly, if you try to locate the I on different levels of consciousness, like sense consciousness, the I is definitely not the sense consciousness, because even after the disappearance of sense consciousnesses, still you find I. And so with regard to mental consciousness, again there are different levels, positive mental thoughts, negative mental thoughts, so these are also not really the I. And within mental consciousness there are differences in terms of subtlety, and in the case of grosser level of consciousness, even after the disappearance of grosser levels of consciousness, the I still is there. For example, when you say that and for example when you faint, then at that point the grosser level of mind is not there, but the I is still there. Now and then the I is also not found on the subtle mind. And even in the case of the subtlest mental consciousness, say the primordial clear light mind, that subtle clear light mind itself is not the I. If that subtle clear light mind is the I, then this would have the implication that the I and the physical I and the psycho-physical aggregates are one. At that state of subtle consciousness, there is no physical aggregate, there is no grosser level of the mind, and at that point there is this only subtle consciousness the very subtle consciousness plus the very subtle energy. So this very subtle consciousness and the subtle energy, they are not the I, because they are the basis of the I. And so therefore, even at that level, the I is something separate, which is the enjoyer of that subtle consciousness and the subtle energy. So it is in this way, when you try to pinpoint the I, you won't find it among the physical aggregates. among the different levels of the mind. So when you do not find such an I when searched, does this mean to say that there is no I? If there is no I, then how can we make a distinction between sentient beings and enlightened ones? And so long as one has the defilement of the dualistic appearances, and then till that long you are a sentient being. When you totally purify the two obscurations, then you become enlightened, you become a Buddha. So if there is no I, then you cannot talk about sentient being, or you cannot talk about the Buddha. So this clearly shows that the I definitely exists. Now even though the I definitely exists, but when you search it, you won't find it. So this means that the mode of existence of the I is such that it is simply designated, and we will not be able to find it if we search it. And but to our ordinary perception and mind, we tend to think that I is something that exists by itself, exists independently, something that we can find when we search it. But in reality, there is no such I. So the only way that the I exists, or the process of existence of I, is there could only be two possibilities in the case of existence of the I. Either it should exist from its own side, and of course through search we are unable to find the I, clearly showing that the I does not exist from its own side. So this leaves only the other alternative, that is the I exists merely through designation. And it is in this way that we will be able to come to a conclusive understanding and decision, thinking that the I do not exist as it appears to us. That means the I or every other phenomena appear to us as having independent inherent existence or existence from their own side. But when we search, we are unable to find it. So this clearly shows that the I does not have inherent existence. And this mode of lack of inherent existence is the reality not only of the I, but it is also the reality of the psychophysical aggregate. Because in the case of the psychophysical aggregate also, if you try to pinpoint them, and if you try to locate them, and try to find them as having independent existence, you won't find them. And similar is true in the case of the Buddha or any existing phenomena, whether it's permanent or impermanent. The way of their existence is such that they are simply dependent on their causes and conditions. They are simply dependent on their parts. They are simply dependent on the mind that gives them the name and the term and so forth. So therefore things come into existence merely through dependence and designation. So it is in this way that you need to come to a conclusive understanding of the lack of inherent existence or the ultimate reality of the I. In this way, you confirm that the I do not exist as it appears to you, and that the I will not be found when searched, and thus come to a conclusive understanding that the I do not have inherent existence. So when we think about the lack of inherent existence, here what you are saying is not, even though there is no lack of even though the I lacks inherent existence, or what you are simply saying here is the I lacks inherent existence. You are not saying even though the I lacks inherent existence, because when you say even though the I lacks inherent existence, then you imply something and you tacitly accept something. Whereas if you simply say that the I doesn't have inherent existence, or the I lack inherent existence, then it is simply negating the existence of an I having independent or inherent existence. So therefore, when we talk about emptiness or lack of inherent existence, it is merely the negation of object of negation, and nothing else is affirmed. So, and having thought about the lack of inherent existence, this mind itself that had reflected on the lack of inherent existence of I, imagine that this I itself now arises into the form of Buddha Tathagata. So this is how you generate yourself into the deity. Buddha Tathagata that you have visualized, or in which you have transformed yourself, has one face and two hands. The right hand in the gesture of giving the teaching, and next is making supplication. So repeat these lines, the meaning of which says that O kind Lama, kindly grant me the uncommon Mahayana modes of taking refuge, and similarly the Bodhisattva vow, and also grant upon me the tantric commitments and pledges. So this is the request or supplication that you are making here. Repeat this. Gacchen chö da dön ba be. Lo bön chö ne gong sö sö. Chang chö chen bö sö dön ba. Gong bö chen bö da sö. Tam sö dinh nhen da la sö. Chang chö sem chang da la sö. Sang chen chö da ke dö. Tiap sem da chang da la sö. Tar ba chen bö tung chö. Gong bö da ne sö dö sö. Tar ba chen bö tung chö. Gong bö da ne sö dö sö. Tar ba chen bö tung chö. Gong bö da ne sö dö sö. Then next, it is the Lama, imagine that the Lama asks you to develop unchanging strong faith and devotion towards the tantric path, and such strong faith and devotion is important in the tantric practice. Because as we have studied earlier, that without relying on the tantric path, it is not possible to achieve enlightenment. And it is from that perspective that you should develop a strong faith and devotion towards the tantric teaching. Receiving the vows will be done tomorrow. Next is blessing and transforming the students. The Tibetan word for blessing is called Chinlab. The word Chin means magnificence. Something like glory, magnificence, of course in a positive very sense. And lab, the Tibetan word lab means to transform. So chinlab or blessing means to transform you into a state of magnificence.
So,
And when we talk about being transformed into a state of magnificence, what is it that is transformed? It is the impure body, speech and mind that we have that is being transformed into the magnificent or pure form of the body, speech and mind of our deity. And of course, the real transformation of the mind, body, speech, and mind can take place by clearly perceiving the ultimate reality of the mind. And once you are able to directly perceive the ultimate reality of the mind, then it is possible to gradually transform your body, speech, and mind into the body, speech, and mind of the Buddha. So here at the three places of yourself, remember that you have generated yourself in the form of the Buddha Tathagata. At these three places, at your heart, at your heart, you should visualize a sun disk on which visualize a blue syllable om. And at your throat, you should visualize a lotus flower, a red lotus flower, red lotus. And on that, visualize the syllable, red syllable a. And on your crown, visualize a moon. And on that, visualize white syllable om. I, as the Lama, when I make the gesture of placing the water at your three places, crown, throat, and heart, whether I touch directly or when I imagine touching your crown, throat, and heart, you should imagine that rays of light emanate from the three syllables, from the three places of the Lama, and these rays of light then touch your crown, throat, and heart. And it is in this way you should imagine that your whole body is filled with light and the defilements of your body, speech, and mind are purified. Next, offerings of flower, incense, and so forth are offered. And this is to symbolize that you are following a tantric path where desire is used on the path. Normally, when we observe different objects like a flower or incense and so forth, then by observing these sensual objects, we develop afflictive emotions and we develop strong grasping, and we tend to see that as having independent inherent existence. But by following the tantric practice and using the desire on the path, these sensual objects, we are able to experience and use these sensual objects, but we will not be developing grasping, and we will be able to see the good as good, but will not exaggerate it. We will be able to see bad as bad, and will not denigrate it. Or so it is true understanding of the truth as they are. Imagine that you are able to generate strong bliss, and this bliss in turn helps strengthen your understanding of emptiness. And it is for such purposes that is at this point these offerings of flower, food, incense and so forth are made. And next is throwing the tooth stick in order to find out what kind of attainment you will have. When Venerable Tenzin Chamche throws the tooth stick, imagine that he is representing all of you. Om Benza Hasaha. Stick fell towards south, and this symbolizes wrathful accomplishment, wrathful attainment.